You can listen to The Professional Left on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at our website, professionalleft.blogspot.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for January 27th, 2017. It's not safe for work.
This is The Professional Left Live with Driftglass and Blue Gal, which is literally the largest and most lavish and most beautiful and listened to podcast in American history. Once you subtract out Pod Save America's 3 to 5 million illegal podcast listeners.
Welcome to the Professional Left Podcast.
Yes. Still brought to you by McGuffin's Muffins. McGuffin's Muffins. Building strong plot points 12 ways.
Just so everybody knows, poor Driftglass has had quite a cold this week.
I got a cold. I caught a cold at the March. Which I think I caught it before the March. But
I don't think you caught it at the March.
No.
And our March was actually, let's start with that, because that was Saturday, and we kind of talked a little bit about the inauguration already last week. The March is plural around the world, and one out of 100 Americans donned their pussy hats and went out to march. We had people from our church go to Washington.
We did.
And it was so funny. Last week, maybe I said this on last week's podcast. I can't remember right now, but I was knitting a pussy hat, and I took it to knitting group, and I didn't take it out. I took out another project and started working on that because I didn't want to kind of make it an issue. And two other knitters came with Ziploc bags full of pussy hats that they were donating to the buses that were going to Washington.
Okay.
These are my people. Okay. So I'm continuing to knit those because we are going to need them for marches there's going to be one March 5th in Springfield. I think that's a day of action for ACA.
Yep.
There's going to be a march for science.
For science, that's right.
There was a march last night in New York City that had, from what I could tell, at least 1,000 people, maybe more, in Washington Square, which was packed.
Yeah, it was. Packed wall to wall.
No, at wall to wall, you know, not ironically, it was for no wall, no list.
Right.
No ban. Pro-immigrant. And so it... You know, this is the resistance, and this is what we are doing. And I think it's really important to take that energy and own it and then use it. And I don't know why I want to start with this, Driftglass, but I think it's important to start with a couple things. One is a lot of people I've noticed on Facebook are upset that Elizabeth Warren voted Ben Carson out of committee.
Right. There are a lot of people outside of Facebook, too, who are upset,
who are upset about that. That really we need to vote no on everything the way Mitch McConnell did.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. I tweeted, you know, lots of swear words at Mitch McConnell last night who said, you know, Democrats need to work with the Republicans. Americans are ready for government to work again. Right. You know what? There isn't a fuck you large enough for Mitch McConnell at this point.
And I just want to be clear, it's not simply to do unto others as they have done unto us.
It's not tit for tat.
It's because Ben Carson is completely unqualified,
unqualified
for that job.
Unqualified.
Absolutely unqualified for that job, period.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth Warren, in my humble opinion, should have turned right on him and said, you know what, you're a nice guy, but we're done professionally.
Yeah, yeah.
And said, I can't vote for you. You're not qualified to do this job. You're not even close. In fact, you said you're not qualified to run a federal department.
Right, right.
Maybe you should withdraw your name because you're not smart enough to do this job.
Right, right. And you don't have the right intelligence to do this job. Absolutely. No. Yeah, yeah.
But she didn't.
And she's in a safe place electorally.
I hope
so. She's going to take some heat for that. But, well, she's not going to lose an election over this. She's not up for re-election, and she's not going to lose an election for this. And the likelihood is she's going to vote no for his confirmation. She voted him out of committee, she didn't vote to confirm him.
Right.
So, you know, whether she thought of that as a senatorial, you know, kind of courtesy. I don't want to make excuses for her, but whatever she decided to do, she's taking heat for it now, but it's not going to matter when she's reelected.
Right.
So, but my point is that I think those of us who vote Democratic, and I'm, you know, this is when the profession left becomes the professional middle of the road Democrat, which is to the left of center, you know, we Democrats, those of us who are Democrats, have simply counted too much on Barack Obama and Elizabeth Warren and Sherrod Brown and some others and Al Franken to be there for us instead of doing the work, instead of taking to the streets and making the phone calls and doing the work.
Right.
And those days are permanently over forever.
Over.
Uh-huh. What Mitch McConnell has that we don't is feet to the fire from a constituency that is organized.
Yes.
And they may be wrong, and they may be bigoted, and they may be assholes.
Check. Yes.
They are organized.
But they're all goose stepping in the same
and
direction.
They will eat their own to get what they think is right.
Right.
And so Mitch McConnell is accountable to them and to the huge money, and that's the other side of it, which is, as you have said many times, it's time for liberal billionaires to step up.
Yeah, in a big way. Mitch McConnell is not, and the rest of them, and Paul Ryan and the rest of them, are really, they have sold their souls to the devil. Built a beast. They, you know, this is the Sorcerer's Apprentice. It's Frankenstein. It's the Gollum. It's an ancient myth. They built a beast they thought they could control.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out they can't.
Mm-hmm.
As every fucking liberal told them for the last 25, 30 years, you're building a monster that will eat you alive.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't care. They really don't.
Yeah, they don't.
As long
they
as
don't.
Paul Ryan gets to live to see the social safety net that put him through college cut out from underneath everyone else, he's happy. He doesn't give a shit what happens to anybody else. As long as Mitch McConnell gets to install the most extreme right-wing Supreme Court justices of his dreams and look into a camera and his little turtle soul, his dark little turtle soul can smile and say, obstructing these things is just un-American.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody walks up to him and just punches his fucking lights out. And by someone, I mean Chuck Schumer.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, in this country, Blue Gal, senators used to beat the crap out of each other with canes on the floor of the U.S. Senate.
Yeah.
And no reporter just, you know, puts an enormous microphone right up to his big turtle head and says, how do you sleep at night being such a complete fucking hypocrite? And then, of course, that's your last day on the job.
Right.
But these people build a monster they can't control. But they don't care because their agenda is synced up with the monster they created to the extent that they want to get rid of the federal government, too. Their lobbyists want to get rid of regulation. They want to get rid of the school system. They want to get rid of the social safety net. They want all that money to go to their friends. And that's perfectly fine with the disruptors who want to drain the swamp. And they've elected the perfect stooge. Because while Donald Trump is making a complete hash of everything he touches and everyone's freaking out, they're lining up their wish list.
The Heritage Foundation is going to get what they want from Donald Trump.
Yep.
Because he's a puppet to the Heritage Foundation. He's a puppet to the Tea Party. He's a puppet to Fox News. He's a puppet to Putin. He is literally the empty vessel that, as long as he gets attention and adoration, and he's not getting that, and that's the problem. Then he'll sign whatever they want, and he can't read it or understand it, but he'll sign it, and that's exactly what Citizens for Tax Reform guy said.
Grover Norquist
said, "All we need is somebody who can sign a piece of paper that we put in front of him.
That's all we need." And the people that they are, quote unquote, accountable to are just as dumb as a bag of hammers.
Yeah.
These people have been dumbed down by 30 years of Rush Limbaugh and Fox News and Breitbart and all the rest you've heard on this podcast a million times, to the point where they can be led around, where they really believe any claptrap that comes out of Donald Trump's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they're being held accountable to some sort of Capra-esque audience of concerned citizens who care about their country. They're a mob.
Yeah.
They're a brainless, racist, angry, ugly, tantrumy 4-year-old mob.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question, Driftglass.
Sure.
In addition to being a mob, they are a mob that has a director, and that director, for the most part, is Fox News. We've mentioned this many times.
Yes,
Fox News is the speaker that they all listen to for their marching orders. And the marching orders this week, if you haven't noticed, are sanctuary cities are bringing murderers into the country to kill you and your children in bed.
Right.
And so you'll get this over and over again, that this is the anti-immigrant. You know, we're going to stand up to cities. This is very calculated, right? Mm-hmm. It's blue areas, it's cities, it's immigrants, it's non-whites, and it's the perfect storm to just, you can just label it sanctuary city, just like you can just label it Benghazi or emails, right. And it means nothing after a while. It's just code. All right. The thing is, Brian Stelter tweeted today, he is the media analyst at CNN, tweeted today that Donald Trump is actually live tweeting Fox at night.
Yes, verbally and live tweeting.
He is transcribing via Twitter what Fox News has on the screen.
Which shouldn't surprise anyone.
No, it doesn't surprise me. Oh. But it's the Chiron. Chiron of Fox.
Yep.
Set next to the tweet from Trump over and over again.
Yeah.
That you say, oh, wait, this really is a guy sitting in his Barca lounger with a phone just typing what he sees.
Screaming at the
policy.
Screaming at the TV, except now you're crazy
now
Uncle
you're president
Liberty.
Of the United States.
Is the president of the United States screaming at the TV because what he saw on the Fox News made him mad. But now he gets to bomb people and invade countries based on what Fox News
Or invade Chicago.
Yeah.
Right.
Which he thinks he can do.
Which is a hellhole, according to Fox and Friends.
Sure.
You
sure.
Know? Actually, someone on Outnumbered today compared it to Aleppo.
Sure.
So.
Well, the bastard president compared it to Afghanistan.
Yeah.
People just getting shot right and left. It's just you can't even walk out of your house. It's just Afghanistan is in better shape than Chicago.
Yeah. And it's not as if the city fathers of Chicago don't acknowledge that. You know, that we do need help. We need help with the number of guns that are coming into the city from Indiana. Hello?
Yeah, they need all kinds of help.
But what Donald Trump promised was an invasion of the feds,
right?
Which implied, I'm sorry, it did. It implied citywide gun confiscation.
Right. And martial law.
His huge check that came from the NRA to his campaign.
Sure.
They're going to be very surprised about that. Yeah. Although I guess the Second Amendment is only for white people. So
yes. Well, that's obviously.
Obviously.
So the mob they're accountable to.
No, but here's what I wanted to ask you in this question is, I'm not surprised that Brian Stelter would act, because that's sort of his job, right? Is to Fox News becomes part of his conversation along with CNN, along with MSNBC. Anytime something comes up in media, it's his job to talk about it.
And he's good at it.
But does that then burst the bubble in other media to where they now have to include Fox News lies as part of the story? If Donald Trump is repeating what he hears on Fox News and it's false, and they have to say there is no evidence for this.
Uh-huh.
And it turns out it comes from Fox News. Do they then, because that's my big complaint, is CNN, other than Brian Stelter, very rarely even mentions Fox as being part of the problem. And they are the problem. I mean, in my personal opinion.
Yeah. The revolution starts with taking down Fox News.
Right.
But see, this is the thing that's depressing and interesting to me. Brian Stelter is doing what Jon Stewart used to do without the laugh track.
Yep.
And the way people used to get away on MSNBC, you go giggling, we're going to talk about Fox, but we're not going to mention Fox, is they talk about Jon Stewart.
Yeah, right.
Did
right.
you see what Jon Stewart said last night? It was so funny.
And Chris Matthews did that all the time.
Right.
Just run a clip of Jon Stewart, and that's how you address Fox News.
That's how you take the stink off of it. It is Kremlinology. You have to decode what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. I shouldn't have to decode what I hear on the news.
Right.
When they're going through these weird locutions to avoid saying shit, then you know what they're avoiding is something their boss tells them they have to avoid.
Right.
Or else they talk about it. You know, this is not rocket science. This is, you know, I tell people if you want to become a great blogger and podcaster and follow the fine tradition of living on the fringes, yelling at your TV, but doing it into a microphone and you know, being a podcaster. You could do worse than reading Sherlock Holmes. Oh. Just learn deductive reasoning. Look at what you're seeing on your TV machine or hearing on the radio or reading the paper, and then compare it to reality and say, oh, there's this big-ass thing they don't talk about ever, ever, ever. They never talk about this. Yep. Oh, my God, on every single fucking show. It's like a sitcom. On every single fucking show, there's the wacky neighbor. That must be part of the formula.
Right.
On every single show, you know, during the TV shows of the 60s and 70s, I mentioned this before, single families.
Yeah, yeah.
It got to be creepy how many families.
Widows and widowers.
Bonanza. Yeah. You know, you go right down the list. A Julia. All these shows that had single families for a variety of reasons. But clearly there was a formula they were following. Mm-hmm. So if you turn on your TV machine and you see Matthew Dowd and Ron Fournier and Mike Kirson and Michael Steele and David Brooks all saying the same fucking thing, which is, you know, it's just a shame how both sides don't get along. It's a shame how the whole system, the duopoly is so broken. You realize, oh, I'm watching a sitcom.
Yeah.
This is the news. Yeah. What they are avoiding talking about is the fact that one of our two major political parties is a rabid dog.
Yeah.
From all the way from your crazy Uncle Liberty to the President of the United States, they're all fucking crazy. They all lie to each other. A whole bunch of them are racist, and they're all charging us off a cliff. And that's something that the purveyors of dick pills and reverse mortgages would rather not talk about.
And so
very much like, you know, Alcoa Theater or live TV or the Twilight Zone, the sponsors now get to decide what you see as news. And you're not going to see anyone talking about the fact that Fox News is a fascist front organization for tremendously evil people. Instead, you're going to see Rachel Maddow talk about her good, close, personal friend, Greta Van Susteren. She's so amazing. I love Greta so much. She's so cool.
Well, and to be fair, you have to be fair. She said that after Greta was a hire from her boss.
Right.
So she is now a coworker, not a Fox News personality, although, you know.
But that's the point.
She's Fox, right?
But that's the point. My point is, it's not, hey, someone from the enemy camp is here, and now we have to put up with them.
No, but she can't do that.
No, exactly.
Any more than you could do for that about any coworker that got hired, right?
Right.
No one listening to us who has a boss and goes into an office is allowed to announce to the staff or to the public that their coworker is a monster.
Unless you work for the National Park Service.
Well, yeah.
but that's the point.
Yeah.
No other organization is chartered with talking about truth and powerful people other than journalism.
Yep. Right.
You know, if you work in an insurance company or bank, your job is not to expose the secrets of the powerful and let the public know about it.
Exactly.
Your job is to cash my fucking check.
Right.
And
make
sure I get my green stamps or whatever people give away at banks these days. If you're in the media, if you're in the political reporting business, your job is to talk about the important shit that's happening and that it affects human beings in this country when it comes to politics and media. Mm-hmm. And if you are deliberately omitting enormous amounts of information and skipping over big parts of the story because your boss says don't talk about this shit, then it's I, as the viewing public, tend to notice it.
And then you
end up with the Spicer problem. Which is, if you're going to lie to me about Fox, and you're going to lie to me about Joe Scarborough, if you're going to pretend Joe Scarborough doesn't exist, or he's on a different continent, or a different network, then what else are you keeping from me?
Yep.
Because clearly, behind closed doors, these people talk about a whole lot of shit that they all know about, and it's all common knowledge that they never share with the public. And I understand that your paycheck is on the line, and you're the last bastion, there's the last three liberals left on the face of television. I get that.
I find that really interesting, too, that however, the answer to however, because looking for the exceptions to that is also very important.
It is. It is.
You know, when there's an uncle in a show and it's a Paul Lind. right?
Yes, that's right. Paul Lind.
Then that's a whole nother thing. Right?
Right.
Where, oh, now this is something really, really different. So here, one thing that is really, really different about this is that Joe Scarborough has all kinds of exemptions to that contract.
Yes, he does.
And he is allowed to scream bloody murder if someone treats one of his pack with disrespect or asks a line of questioning that he doesn't like.
He's allowed to go
He may
on
not be
Twitter?
Able to name names.
Uh-huh.
He may not be able to name names on the air, but do you remember right before the election, or maybe it was right after the election, I think it was right before, Brian Williams
Yeah.
Had Mark Halperin on and said,
yes,
you to a fault have made excuses for Donald Trump that he might win.
Right.
You know, and turns out Mark Halperin was right.
He was.
And that, to his credit, Mark Halperin was right. But Joe Scarborough the next morning had his hair on fire.
In the Washington Post.
And on air.
Yes, he did.
Of looking at Mark Halperin, and I think Mark Halperin was, you know, a little scared because he thought, yeah, okay, you're not yelling at me, Joe. That's good. Okay, I know you're yelling on behalf of me.
But you know, was, when Daddy starts yelling.
You were on a show and you were told, you know, that we can't have any possibility that Donald Trump might win. And just treated it like not just a personal insult, but don't touch my peeps. Do not touch anyone on my show,
right,
or make them appear less than perfect, because
right,
I will bite your head off.
Well, that's the once crazy drunk Uncle Daddy starts going off.
Mm-hmm.
He can strike out in any direction.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why everyone cringes and hides under their desk when Scarborough gets a head of steam going, because
yeah,
he's nuts, because he doesn't care. But I believe what you're saying, Blue Gal.
Mm-hmm.
Is that there appears to be one set of rules for Republicans and one set of rules for Democrats or
yeah,
conservatives and liberals. And those rules are completely asymmetrical.
Yep.
If you're a conservative,
yep,
you get away with fucking murder on the
mm-hmm
air. You can
mm-hmm
say shit on Twitter that would get my account suspended.
Well, no, to be fair again, I'm going to be fair about this again.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you've noticed, but Joy Reid can be very free on Twitter to say what she wants to say about anybody.
She does, and the exception that proves the rule.
Yeah.
At this moment, I have no special insight, but I think that there would be hell to pay if they fired Joy Reid.
I think there would be too.
I think
because,
there would be. The marches
because of
with
the,
somebody,
all of the precedent of they've already fired one woman.
Melissa Harris Perry. Yeah,
and they've got to play as nice as she's got to play now.
Yeah, I think the marches.
That's true.
I think marchers would suddenly learn Phil Griffin's home address.
Oh, yeah.
And surround his house and want to know, hey fucker, why don't you come out and tell us to our face why you fired everybody on the chat on your fucking TV station that makes it watchable by, you know, the majority of the country.
Yep.
And daddy, why there's so many people on the lawn? Oh, I talk about it. Hey, Melissa, how's it going? I was thinking maybe you want to do a show.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Anyway, speaking of quivering bags of Jell-O.
Yeah.
David Brooks.
Oh, my gosh. You have 10 minutes to talk about David Brooks, and then we're going to do Donald Trump lightning round, because we have given up now completely as far as this being a news show.
We
are always going to be behind.
Yes.
By the breaking, there will be breaking news the minute I post this podcast that somebody else has resigned or somebody's been fired or Donald Trump has tweeted a thing or violated the Constitution in another way.
We're providing sort of historic overview and context for
people have written to us this week.
Yeah.
And said, you are there for comfort and
right, you
are there for stability.
Right.
And I want everyone to know that after the election, and I'm not going to tell my crying story because everybody has a crying story about the election.
Sure.
You know, my mother had died the week before. And that election, I really wanted to end a lot of things at that point. You know, I was just like checking out.
Yep.
And now, truly, I want everyone to know that I wake up in the morning and say, let's go.
Yeah.
You know, yes, we can.
Yeah.
Today's another day for resist to fly, the resist flag to fly.
Yeah. Well.
And it's also a day to be very curious as to how this shit show is going to end.
Uh-huh.
Because, and you had a beautiful analogy of the abortion scene in Godfather.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Godfather 2?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This must end.
This must all end.
Because
this
end.
Is an abortion. Just
this
like
is an abortion.
Just like the Republican Party is an abortion.
It's an abortion.
And this
yes.
must all
this
end.
This must all end. Your Sicilian crap must all end.
Your Sicilian thing that goes back 2,000 years.
Thing.
Yeah. I wouldn't bring another child of yours into this world.
We are not going to feed you any more heirs. No, right. You do not get the next generation.
No.
The White House was a rainbow, and it will be a rainbow again. And that generation you have lost forever.
Forever.
My daughter would no sooner vote Republican than she would cut off her toes.
Right. No.
You know, her friends wouldn't. No one would. You are a bunch of racist, bigoted homophobes,
right,
as far as they are concerned.
As far as they're concerned.
For life.
Are. Yeah. And you
for
know what?
For life.
That nice Kentucky family that was in the Washington Post, because now, from now on until the end of time, there has to be an article that's incredibly lazy. Because you wait until they come to Washington, and then you just feed them out of your hand like chipmunks.
Yeah.
And
you're terrible.
Yeah, well, and they come up to you and tell you their sad story about how I live in coal country, and we came to because we love America. And those kids will probably grow up and, you know, be as dumbass as their parents are. Maybe they'll get away from them. I don't know. But the coal jobs ain't coming back.
No.
And the railroad jobs ain't coming back. And the 1950s ain't coming back. And you can vote for Donald Trump all you want. Your magical thinking can win elections for a while longer. But you are voting away your future. And you're voting yourself into historical oblivion.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
what you're saying is, I'm too stupid to cope with the 21st century.
Exactly. I'm too... afraid.
Terrified. I'm terrified
afraid
of the 21st century.
Of ownership.
And you know what?
And, yeah.
Every one of your problems is real.
Yeah.
Let me be
yeah.
very clear about
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Every
yeah.
one of your, the problems of unemployment in your area are real. And drug addiction are real. And despair is real. And they're just as real for you as they are for the inner city of Chicago, which
exactly.
you think is a jungle. And for
right.
all the same reasons. They're not
yep.
genetically dissimilar to you. They're not predisposed by God or nature to be different than you. They're under they've been living your life now for four generations or longer.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
why there are endemic problems of poverty and drug abuse and so on in mm-hmm. places like that.
And violence against women. And this is the thing. And the internal, I know we need to get to David Brooks, but before we do that, you put a knitting post on your blog today.
I absolutely did. I went
and it's
way...
about a woman on Facebook who owned a yarn store, and she didn't want any of those marchers to come to her yarn store to get their pussy hats because that's obscene.
And you know what they did then? They got on their horses and rode to the next town.
Right.
And they went to the public library. There's a library with an internet machine, and we'll order the yarn on the internet machine because,
right.
you know, welcome to the 20th century.
And she apparently didn't know how Facebook works because all of a sudden she has 400 or 500 comments. Her bigotry went around the world, and what I found interesting is how many people pointed out that in my lifetime, I've said this before, in my lifetime, I was born in 1963, in my lifetime, this woman who owns a yarn store would not be able to get a business loan for herself in
That's
her
right.
own name.
That's right. That's exactly right.
My mother had credit cards, store credit cards with my father's name on it.
Yep.
Because she couldn't have one because it wasn't possible.
That's right.
And God, do we forget that.
My former mother-in-law, mm-hmm. African-American woman, lovely woman, during my lifetime, mm-hmm. went to the Carson Peary Scott in the neighborhood where we lived with $50 to buy whatever and was asked, where did you get that money?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was
yeah.
something that you could ask and not go to jail for or be
right.
written up
or be
about.
Sued. Right. Or be sued
over because
yeah.
that's the America these fuckers want back.
Right.
And it's
right.
never coming back. But this is the lady.
No, but the woman, a yarn store owner, wanted everyone to know that this Women's March thing was anti-family.
Anti-Christian.
And anti-Christian and,
right.
and anti-unity of the nation.
Right. Damn it.
And I pointed out, and I didn't read the 700 comments she had. I just added mine. But, you know, the judge not lest ye be judged is actually a cause and effect. You know, and let he who is without sin cast the first stone is a cause and effect to hypocrisy. And here everyone pointed out to her, number one, you couldn't have gotten a business loan as a single woman business owner 40 years ago.
No. Nope.
And the other thing they pointed out is you do realize that you're saying we're being divisive when the president that you're upset on behalf of said pussy grab, and all we did was say pussy grab is sexual assault.
Right.
But she has internalized the oppression.
Right. She has.
You know, she has just internalized that this is the way the world is, and that means it's good.
That's
and
right.
I grew up this way, and therefore, and
now she's mad.
The 71-year-old Republican, I think, in New England, who grabbed a woman's genitals, proclaiming that he doesn't have to be politically correct anymore.
That's right. He claims this land in the name of the Queen of England.
And he got arrested. Yeah. Shocked. He was shocked that he got arrested.
I will say, and this is not rehashing my former family hour, because I want to get back to this guy for a second.
The student, you want to get back to David Brooks, I hope.
Well, I want to get back. I'm two steps away from David Brooks. So one step is my ex was a judge for a while.
Oh.
And heard job discrimination cases.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was amazed. And she would share with, you know, her circle of friends and me the number of times a CEO would be sued, usually a construction company, to be fair. Uh-huh. Or often a construction company, but, you know, a guy who just grabbed his secretary's ass or grabbed her tits or told her she had to sleep with him to keep her job and came to court and go, well, of course I can do that. I'm her boss. She's my pro. And really, and he would just get on the stand and say, well, fuck yeah, I did it. I own her.
Yep.
And you know, had completely missed the last 70 years because he was too busy.
Or had missed 1971 to 1976.
Yeah, and let's face it, had never seen the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Hat tip, Mary Tyler Moore.
Hat tip, yeah, rest in peace. I had to explain to Junior Dude this week because he's starting to read economic stuff.
Right.
And wondering what inflation is.
It's a thing that we had back
in the 70s. And what did it do? It put Edith Bunker into the workplace. That's what it did.
Absolutely did.
And she wasn't working to be a feminist. She was working to make sure that she could still have meatloaf at nighttime, right? Because meat got really expensive in 1973.
It really. And everything.
Coffee and meat and sugar were just... And gas were just outrageously expensive.
And your mortgage was, you know, 27% or something like that.
Yeah. So real wages, men's wages not keeping up with inflation at all in any way meant somebody else had to go to work.
And right about the time, and I've said this before on this podcast, and I have a long essay written about this deep in my notes about family as a machine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The minute inflation hit and there was a gas crisis, the divorce rate skyrocketed.
Right.
Because the entire family structure was built on the nuclear family of one person in the house doing the job of raising children, one person out of the house doing the job of supporting the unit economically. Mm-hmm. And once the cell wall was ruptured and it was no longer possible to divide labor that way, the cell starts to break down and mutate because
and the cell, let's face it, the part of the cell that was supposed to stay home is all of a sudden doing both jobs.
Exactly. And she's done with that.
And she can't do that. Yeah.
Let's walk back to the woman who is mad now that people are taking her Facebook comments and doesn't want to be divisive.
And let's talk about, she doesn't want Facebook. She doesn't want to rehash my opinion versus your opinion after airing her opinion on Facebook. So she clearly doesn't understand how Facebook works.
May I just say, she is 2017's Mr. George Tierney of Greenville, South Carolina. Mr. George, I just want to mention in briefly, Mr. George Tierney of Greenville, South Carolina, T-Bog, God bless his heart, is the person who picked up on this guy and pointed out that Mr. George Tierney, and he just kept saying the guy's name over and over and over again, misunderstands how the Twitter works.
Yeah.
And he's using his insight.
Take my name off the Google.
And he was yelling at the Twitter saying, whoever runs this site needs to take my damn comments off. I did not give you permission, nor did you ask me for it. It shows up on the Google. And I will see a lawyer. And he was famous everywhere because he was such a perfect textbook example of, oh, you're just too stupid to be here.
Yeah,
No, there's a special place for you. It's offline doing epsilon minus elevator work. You take the elevator to the top floor and you take the people, but you're too dumb to do anything. But you have many opinions and they're very loud in your head and you want to share them with the world. And now those people run this fucking country.
Yeah.
And that's why it's, you know, important to get up off your back and do what my wife did. Get back in the fight. And speaking of getting back.
Well, I also wanted to point out one other thing and then we'll get to. And this segues very nicely to David Brooks because it's about the New York Times.
Just everything, really.
There was an article in the New York Times There were several articles in the New York Times about the Women's March, but there was one about that really got people a little bit ticked.
Yeah.
How vital are women? This town found out as they left to march. Montclair, New Jersey, women left for marches in Washington and New York. Family routines were radically altered, and many fathers, blah, 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 had to all of a sudden take care of children.
Uh-huh.
And I said, just wait till to find out how many Saturdays you have to take care of the kids after the divorce.
Seriously, this is like, this really is a Dick Van Dyke episode.
It is.
You know, running around the house with Richie in diapers, wondering how babies work. You know, it's just,
yeah.
And I get that. It was funny in 1960, whatever. But the fact that, oh my God, women do things and now they're mad and, gracious me.
Who's going to take care of the kids though, honey?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is not 1919,
no,
where I'm a suffragette and there's no preparation whatsoever for you to have any idea how to do this.
Right.
But apparently, you know, these gender norms are really hard to break.
I'm getting somebody a box set of Norman Lear sitcoms and just watch them in order. And when you get to Maude, you're going to get really mad. But that's pretty much how the world works now. And speaking of people who don't know how ladies work.
Really?
David Brooks, the greatest asset to the resistance movement.
Yeah.
Is probably David Brooks at this point, at least in my warped perspective.
In your opinion, yes. I do think you're a little, your opinion and your worldview is a little bit...
perceptive.
No, I wasn't going to say
warped.
That.
It's warped.
You're looking at through a very narrow window.
I am.
David Brooks is very large.
Although... this one was one for the ages.
I would say when people are not only emailing you, but saying to me without saying, by the way, tell Driftglass how terrible David Brooks is today, just saying, did you see this? Right. This is terrible.
And the Twitter's almost always, David Brooks, you're so wise. You're so wise. It's always, you know, Christian pastor of some godforsaken college or usually university presidents who don't have any contact with the human world. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, or CEOs, people who live in David Brooks's bubble, who are all mutually reinforcing, and I've noticed this trend before, a lot of people on the Pacific Rim in server farms who get paid to retweet New York Times stuff to drive up the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But it's usually this sort of fawning, have you read The Road to Character? It changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
This time it was like, you know, David, I really like you, but you're a fucking idiot. And it was really David Brooks, as my post said, finally just gives up on getting laid forever.
Yeah, yeah.
He finally gave up. And I have made a concerted effort to prove many theories regarding Mr. Brooks, but this one is really painfully obvious that he has been barely sublimating the various stages of his horror and depression and rage of his divorce, which he swore was not happening. Which he was writing about his happy family while he was divorced, which every one of his colleagues avoided even asking him about, even though it was clearly obvious what was going on. I was the first person on the internet who noticed he wasn't wearing a wedding ring.
Yeah.
And this is a guy who
because
wrote...
Because your window on the world is very narrow and David Brooks is very big.
It is. Well, he's a good proxy for everything that's wrong with the media.
And New York media and media.
Absolutely.
Yep. And Washington Beltway media. Yep.
While he's writing, you know, pious columns about dislocated families and disorganized families and what a tragedy poverty communities are because the marriages are broken, his wife is dumping him.
And for cheating on her. For cheating on her.
And he doesn't mention it.
No.
He just floats above it in this weird, you know, abstracted third person voice. And so he's written many, many, many columns, which are just goddamn creepy, in which he, you know, obsesses over girls in a dance studio across the street, you know, where he goes to get his Slim Jims and Lottos. Between there and his house, there's this dance studio. It's like, suddenly I was struck by the beauty of their sweet, sweet asses. No, can't connect it. But, you know, and talking about how awesome it is hanging out in hotel lobbies.
Yeah.
And just weird shit. And clearly he's, you know, huddled under a table half the time with a bottle of tequila, raging or
saying,
crying.
Gail, why did you leave me?
Why did you leave me?
Yeah.
But he decided that the number one problem with the Ladies' March is, and he led with this. In the first place, he said, this movement focuses on the wrong issues. And now we're off.
Why don't you explain it to us, David Brooks?
And he did in great detail.
Yeah, marching, all the things you're doing it wrong by David Brooks.
Well, and he said specifically, if you're not organizing yourself around the dynamism of capitalism with biblical morality.
Biblical morality.
You're doing it wrong.
There it is again.
And everyone pile on, as well they should. Like, holy shit, man. And it was really just, ladies, you're doing it all wrong. Mm-hmm. You're angry about the sit-down. Let me explain. Explain to you. But here's what I believe only I pointed out. David Brooks always hates it when liberals march.
Exactly. Yep. Yep.
Always. That's right. And I just went back to, you know, before David Brooks was David Brooks of the New York Times, he was David Brooks of the Weekly Standard. Yeah. He worked for Bill Kristol. He was a right-wing neocon asshole. And when he went to work for the New York Times, he was a right-wing neocon asshole. And then when the Bush administration exploded, he suddenly became a centrist both sides do it asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Overnight, mm-hmm. he suddenly decided that everyone was equally to blame for everything. And that's been the common cult following of everyone like him in the media. Oh, yeah, it's terrible how both sides are awful. But I just went back and pulled his stuff from his own writing, which, by the way, he denied ever writing when asked about it in public. That was the same thing. It was, oh, these liberal anti-war protesters are stupid and crazy and they don't understand. And they're all this is all about the 60s, you know, and I'm quoting now. They're not arguing at all. That would be us who are opposed to the war just because we hate, you know, we just hate Paul Wolfowitz and Richard Pearl. That's why we're doing this. And we're during the hate is they're repeating the hatreds they cultivated in the 1960s. They're playing culture war and they're disguising their eruptions as position taking on Iraq, a country about which they haven't even taken the trouble to inform themselves.
Yeah,
I cannot tell you how many different ways that sentence is fucked up from David Brooks, the guy who has never visited Iraq. Had many opinions about it based on Bill Kristol's analysis that there won't be any problems there because she and Sunni get along fine. but David, every time liberals organize to do anything, David Brooks says you're doing it wrong. You're completely doing it wrong. All you're doing is playing culture war. This is all identity politics. It'll never get you anywhere. You should really organize around capitalism and biblical morality. And he's always wrong. And the thing is, he has.
Does he get into what that means for women? What it is that doing biblical morality?
No.
If 1 out of 100 Americans marched on a day about capitalism and biblical morality, what would that look like?
If you're not engaged, here's the thing: the issues are globalization, capitalism, adherence to the Constitution, and American-led global order. If you're not engaging these issues, you're not going to be in the main arena of national life, says David Brooks.
Okay.
Identity politics is too small for the moment. What anti-Trump forces should have done was offer a red, white, and blue alternative patriotism, a modern forward-looking patriotism based on pluralism, dynamism, growth, etc., which is exactly what the fucking march did.
Mm-hmm.
But he's too busy living in his bubble, fantasizing about all the women who will never touch his little pee-pee because he's a creep, and projecting onto them all the things that have gone wrong in his marriage. So they're doing it wrong. Instead, there were marches – these marches had pink hats, and there were things like Planned Parenthood and a lot of signs with the word pussy on it. And there's like four things in the sentence David doesn't understand.
Yeah.
And pussy is one of them.
Yeah.
And Planned Parenthood is another. And so he understands nothing. He understands, but he does know that this is a this fixation on diversity. He's quoting someone else, a generation of liberals and progressives who are narcissistically unaware of conditions outside their self-defined group, says David Brooks, who hasn't set a toe outside of the Acela corridor except to go to Iowa and find someone who will confirm his biases in 20 years.
Yeah.
And the central threat, ladies, is not the patriarchy, which he says explicitly. It's to rebind a functioning polity and modernize a binding American idea. It doesn't mean shit other than the fact that you're wrong. You should sit down and be quiet. And again, this is David Brooks has now been wrong about everything going back to before the Bush administration. And he's wrong loudly and prominently. And I really, really want to have 5 minutes in the elevator alone one day with some fucking editor from the New York Times and a hypodermic full of truth serum.
Yeah.
Say, tell me why the fuck this idiot is on your paper. And the answer is going to be because Bibi Netanyahu makes me do it.
Yeah.
Because there are 20 billionaires in New York who would sew my mouth shut and throw me in the East River if I didn't put this asshole on the page.
Mm-hmm.
He's there for the same goddamn reason that Ross Douthat's there, and the same reason Tom Friedman's there. There's a handful of billionaires who love these assholes, and they are my peer group. And you know what? It's my fucking paper. Costs me nothing, really. And, you know, so let them have what they want. These are the people I have to live with. These are the people I'm hoping my children will breed with and create more money. So let them have David Brooks. And if the rest of you don't like it, well, that's just too goddamn bad, isn't it? And that's fine. That's what horoscope writers are for. But you don't put this asshole on Meet the Press and NPR and PBS and have him spout this nonsense with nobody there to swat it out. Once again, we're in the sitcom area where there's no one present to poke a little hole in that balloon. David Brooks is who was it? Margaret Dumont.
Yes.
He's Margaret Dumont without Groucho Marx. You need someone across the set from him who isn't 500 years old named Mark Shield who will go, yeah, David, whatever. You know, I don't know about this sort of thing. I think we get along pretty well. You need someone there to say, David, you're an idiot. He's a buffoon. He's the goof. You need
There's something out there. We haven't found it yet. Yeah. That is protecting him from that kind of criticism in the mainstream press.
And it's the same thing that's protecting a lot of people. So I look for the magnetic field that protects him and Mike Gerson and Dowd and Fournier and a lot of people who used to work for the Bush administration one way or another. They are all protected from on high by some prince or princess of darkness, by some compact that they will not share with us. And our few friends in the media will not focus their cameras in that direction because apparently – don't look at Sauron because Sauron might look at me and then he'll eat me. So, okay, that's what we're stuck with. So we're out here in the cornfield deducing what must actually be going on. And now it's time for our lightning round.
Yeah, let's do a lightning round. Steve Bannon, turns out, is registered until today, was registered to vote in two places.
Here in hell.
The USDA was told to shut up. The EPA was told to shut up. National Parks got their Twitter suspended for doing math and science in public.
And then they balls out. Leslie Knope said, fuck you. And set up
their own account. So did about 15 other agencies. Yeah. They are all doing an alt and then their name, their Twitter handle, and, you know, keeping their identity secret. There's been a suspension of visas.
Yes.
Being issued.
From
The wall is going to be built apparently with magic pixie dust.
Well, look, go back to the visas.
Okay.
Because it is my understanding that the suspension of visas from Middle East countries excludes Middle East countries where Trump Incorporated does business. So it's kind of selective. Like Saudi Arabia, I don't believe is on the list.
Well, isn't Osama bin Laden from Saudi Arabia originally?
Yes, he is. And, you know, Saudi Arabia has the Wahhabists who are like funding all kinds of bad people out there. And it's weird that all the places that give Donald Trump money are still okay.
Those
places. You'd think maybe a terrorist would know that and go those places. And
get a visa.
Get a visa. But that's just me. I don't know anything. And you know what?
No.
Apparently there are a lot of job openings at the State Department, so maybe I could get in on that deal.
On that visa action with the Trump hotels and stay in a Trump hotel. Yeah.
Anyway, Trump's folly, the big dumb wall that will never get built.
Where we don't have any engineering reports because none of the agencies that could possibly do those have been given any money to do them.
No.
And there's no purse strings attached to any of the executive orders that Donald Trump has signed.
No.
Have had nothing budgeted for them because Congress is, I mean, these are meaningless pieces of paper. And I do want to say that the Donald Trump, and I will not call him by his title.
The bastard president?
The bastard president. Since the bastard president took office, Daily Show is good again.
Oh, really?
And I want to make sure people know that it is Trevor Noah has come into his own, and last night's show, Wednesday night's show, I thought was remarkable because, you know, it's not Jon Stewart again, and it'll never be Jon Stewart, but it is, Trevor Noah just has a way of finding the amusement. The moment where Trump shows how out of his element he is, and it's clear that the interns that are watching everything are finding, still have it, to find, look at this second here, you know, and they find that second where it's hilarious. And here is Donald Trump signing an executive order for building the DAPA pipeline.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump picks it up. And, of course, he's not wearing his glasses because he's too vain.
Right.
This executive order is for the North Dakota pipeline. And then he looks out at the camera. North Dakota pipeline. And Trevor Noah comes back on screen and is just laughing and saying, this is like the bully in school who is giving a book report right. on a book he didn't read.
Right.
My book report is on, and what did he say? He said, Beowulf.
Beowulf.
This is my book report on Beowulf. And then he looks out at the audience, Beowulf.
Beowulf.
Shut up, Jimmy. Don't laugh at me. I'll beat you up after school. Right?
North Dakota, land of contrast.
North Dakota pipeline, a pipeline of many contrasts.
Many contrasts. And then Rex Tillerson gives him a cookie.
Yeah, and that's it. And so, really, I do recommend giving Trevor Noah another chance. Uh-huh. I do. I think it's worth it.
Well, and it was like Trump University diplomas. Here.
That's exactly what it was.
Lovely thing I just signed that has no weight.
And it will make the audience, the purpose of these is to make his audience love him.
It's very, very stupid people.
It is a show. Yeah. For stupid people.
Yeah.
This is Celebrity Apprentice White House. It is absolutely that.
And Paul Ryan was asked about that, you know, the purse strings in the wall. He says, yeah, we'll put some money aside. It'll be fine. Yeah. We'll pass a thing, do a thing, and, you know, eventually.
And then the alt Army Corps of Engineers Twitter feed right. will say, you can't do it.
You can't do it.
We can't build a wall in the river and in the sand in these 17 areas.
It does.
And they'll publish a map on Twitter. Alt for Army Corps of Engineers.
It reminds me a little bit of Monty Python and the Holy Grail, the castles in the swamp.
Yeah.
And the first one sank, but we built a second one. And that one sank too. And, you know, if you have an infinite amount of money, you can build, you know, a wall a mile high and a million miles long. You can build a circle, you know, you can build a ring world if you have infinite, but you don't. And it's weird to watch the... First of all, it's really weird and depressing as shit, and also somewhat satisfying to watch Donald Trump prove everything liberals have said about Republicans is true. Yeah. He is the stress test, the final stress test of the Republican Party that proves there's nothing in the Republican Party but liars and traitors and cynics and looters and idiots.
And people who are willing to lie to themselves because they cannot face truth, and those that are willing to lie to everybody.
Right.
In order to make some sort of profit,
there's
professional or monetary.
There's unprincipled insects like Marco Rubio.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's just monsters like Jeff Sessions. But there's no one of principle left in the Republican Party. You can't. Mm-hmm. You can now safely sort of stop worrying about finding the good ones. There aren't any good ones. It's all shit from top to bottom.
I wanted to make sure you knew this. I know you and I and many of our listeners boycotted watching anything to do with the inauguration while it was going on.
Yeah.
Samantha Bee pointed out on her show last night that one of the songs that the Army Marching Band played at the welcome party the night before the inauguration was the Liberty Bell, which is the Monty Python theme. just tossing that out there.
Yeah. I thought when the Marine Corps band struck up Don't Stand So Close to Me, when Melania Trump was saying this is going to cost you $10,000.
This is gonna, oh my God.
Yeah.
And poor woman.
Yeah. Well,
you and I have both said that we feel sorry for her.
Yeah. Well, you know,
she went back to New York on Sunday.
Yep.
Has not been heard from since.
Nope.
And to be fair, again, I'm trying to be very fair here.
Why?
Her son, Barron.
Yes.
Had to get back to school on Monday.
Hey.
You know, Monday's a school day. But Sunday was her wedding anniversary.
Yeah, yes.
Just saying.
Her warranty is about to run out. all I'm saying is,
I think the warranty has run out, but I'm, you know, I don't like gossip and I don't want people talking about my marriage the way I just talked about hers, so I'm done.
But we will say that there's one asshole SNL comedy writer who decided to make a shitty joke about Barron. Hands off the kids.
And deleted it and apologized and moving on.
Yes.
But yeah, that's right. Hands off Barron and don't diagnose him over the phone or over the internet, please. Speaking as someone whose child has had many children that in my lifetime that have diagnoses of one kind or another. Uh-huh. Don't do that. All right.
Many federal agencies. There are 15 federal agencies. If you're curious what Sean Spicer's password is.
He's tweeted it twice in 2 days.
He tweeted his password out twice. And it's I want to die. And I hate you, Donald. Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, Donald. Fuck you to hell. I wish you were dead. Which I think was like kind of a cry for help, if you ask me. Of course,
we've asked that question. We have cavuto'd that issue, you know. Just asking the question, Sean. Is it a cry for help or are you just a total idiot?
And this really was, they just.
Well, and this is, again, no one would have made an issue comparing Barack Obama's first black president total historical moment in 2009, which is changing the world forever, as a historical moment in time where people wanted to be there to celebrate history being made, with any subsequent inauguration, including his own in 2013, which was not as big. You know, no one would have held up Donald Trump's turnout.
Wait a minute. Now, you know that. Remember how in 2013, Barack Obama went on that 2-week-long tirade about how this inaugural was bigger than his last one? And the pictures prove
it. And nothing got done because we kept having to rehash that on CNN.
And he just wouldn't shut up about it. Yeah. And he went on every TV show. They kept asking about affordable care and the Congress shutting things down. The Republicans are out of their minds.
Saying, but my numbers are great.
Yeah. And I did better than last time. You know, I dunked this son of a bitch, you son of a bitch. And then he grabbed that woman by the pussy. Remember that?
No, none of those things happen. So no one would have made an issue of this had it not been Donald Trump's obsession. And bringing it up over and over again.
And the fact that Donald Trump is insane. Donald Trump
really is crazy.
He really is crazy. This is not, the crazy
Rob
people.
Rob Reiner has been tweeting this all week. Like, oh my God, this person is insane.
Crazy people are not like screaming, frothing in the mouth crazy all the time. Believe me, I've had interactions. But Donald Trump is crazy.
Yeah.
And he believes the voices in his head. And he believes people who tell him things because his golf buddy told him this thing.
The entire country is being governed by his vanity.
Yes.
That is how they are running the White House.
There are hundreds of people inside a group called the Party of Lincoln who could, in fact, stand up and say, look, this has gone far enough. I cannot in good conscience participate in this farce anymore. The guy we elected is nuts. And I think we really need to do something about it because it's scaring the crap out of me. And not one single principled Republican exists anymore in the Republican Party. Sean Spicer, if he had an ounce of integrity ever, going back to when he was in short fucking pants, would have when Donald Trump said, get out there and lie for me, you little boy, you twat. Get out there and tell my lies for me. He would have said, I will not do that. I will not set fire to my credibility in public to serve what is a stupid lie. I'll go out and tell him you are great. Everything is wonderful. We had wonderful numbers, but I'm not going to go out there and litigate something that I can see with my own goddamn eyes. Now, as we said before, these lies are not meant to prove anything other than I'm bigger than you.
Right. I can lie and I determine reality. I determine reality. I say what's true. Uh-huh. I say who's a Jew. I say who's a Republican.
Yeah.
I say who's a good guy and who isn't.
And
I say what's a million people and what isn't.
And everyone knows that's Rush Limbaugh's job.
Yep.
And this is, by the way, for those of you with short memories, this is exactly what happened during the Tea Party. The Tea Party rallies were over a billion people out for the Tea Party.
Because Fox News said so.
Six idiots in a Ramada Inn having a circle jerk was suddenly thousands of people were out in the parks.
Yep.
And it was big, but it was a big sponsored corporate event designed by Fox News and FreedomWorks and funded by the Koch brothers.
Mm-hmm.
But there are people who
do
have principles.
Now, the fact that Sean Spicer did this twice in 2 days is a lot.
Yeah.
But once would have been forgiven.
No.
Had it not been that Sean Spicer was the point person on the DNC hack and Hillary's emails, and that Hillary's private server was the weak spot in all of the security, that it was her fault that the DNC had been hacked, and it was her fault that, because of her private server, which, by the way, was not hacked, And I mean, all of this was just flipped on its head lies,
right?
And his freaking out over this and freaking out over any suggestion that the RNC was also hacked and the WikiLeaks or the Russian government didn't release the information they got from the RNC instead of, you know, it was only the DNC that was targeted. And, you know, Michael Smirkanish dining out on that interview with Sean Spicer for 3 weeks after because Sean Spicer lost his shit.
Sean Spicer,
if it weren't for that, you know, once would have been, oh my gosh, he sat on his phone.
Yeah.
You know, and butt dialed his password or random letters and numbers. And both of these were just random letters and numbers. Sat on my phone. We've all done it. You know, it happens. I butt tweeted. Sorry. But twice in 2 days and being that jackass, no.
Well, and
you know, this is
the same day. I've read a couple of times in newspapers that RNC senior Republicans still have private email accounts that they're using.
People in the White House now have private emails
on RNC
from the RNC,
which,
right?
And that the bastard president is still using his unsecured Android phone.
Right, unsecured Android phone.
Which you know, and again, if we had anyone in the Republican Party who had an ounce of principle, they would stand. They would finally say, "Look." But they're all shit. They're all shit.
What if Hillary did it? What if Hillary did it? We've had that conversation for a year now.
Well, and have this, you know, have this little thought experiment. Imagine if Hillary Clinton, and this is, again, we understand how Yokio works.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
For your friends who are still not over it and are still seething and maybe Jill Steined and Bernie'd out and, you know, corrupt duopoly, tell them to imagine Hillary Clinton closes down the USDA and tells the EPA to shut up and tells the National Parks to stop talking about science.
Right.
And suspends visas on a whim.
Because there's no difference between the two parties.
And if you really
believe
that's
what would have happened, right?
And no more Planned Parenthood and universal gag rule and on and on and on and on.
And I've just signed 15 executive orders to do whatever I want.
And if your opinion exists at a point in space so far from Earth that you can't see the difference between these two, then you should stop participating in democracy.
Yeah.
You should go to enjoy yourself in a lovely philosophy class where there nothing has any consequences and nothing anybody says means anything outside of the context of that. And maybe you'll come up with a wonderful treatise, but you have no business weighing in on public policy because you have no fucking idea what you're talking about. And you know who does have principles? Former State Department members, apparently.
Yeah. Because they all quit.
They all quit today.
Top six people resigned, four of them today, two of them earlier.
Yep.
And it is the largest mass exodus of staff in the State Department in the history of the State Department. And also the head of the Border Patrol resigned today.
Just quit. Up and quit. We're not sure if he's fired or quit, but he's gone.
No, he quit.
Uh-huh.
He quit. There's a letter of resignation online. So, yep, he quit. And I said, you know, to my fellow editors and staff at Crooks and Liars, are we going to post that now or are we going to wait and see who else resigns today?
Because
these things happen it's a domino effect,
yeah.
You know, and you see this a lot in companies, you know, if some bunch of people quit, it's like, oh, well, I guess I'm going to go too.
Yeah. Hey.
Depending on what level you're at and how much savings you have.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's the thing. And I don't want to leave this list without mentioning Tom Price's hearing where Sherrod Brown asked him a series of questions about specific constituents of Sherrod Brown's in Ohio, their health insurance situation, whether it was 26 staying on your parents' insurance, hitting what would be pre-ACA, a lifetime cap, getting preventive care as a senior citizen, having a pre-existing condition. He went through all of these kind of situations and asked Tom Price to assure him and his constituents that those situations would be covered under a Republican replacement plan. And you know, Tom Price lied and said, I want to assure you that we want all Americans to have access to the highest level of coverage and the highest level of care possible.
And when you hear the word access to, that's to be lied to.
I've got access to a Mercedes-Benz drift class. All I need is $36,000 for the base model.
You don't have that? Well, then, sorry. Also,
that's, you know.
But, yeah, Tom Price lied, but he also lied about – he also was very – as you pointed out in our notes, you're very casual about admitting
– This is where I wanted to go with this, because the next question Sherrod Brown asked was – okay, so President Trump, he said, President Trump has said – that you and he are working together on a plan, and that that plan will be ready in a few weeks.
Uh-huh.
Is that true? And Tom Price said, it's true that he said that.
I'm sure he said that. Yep.
And everyone laughed.
Yeah.
And the Republicans laughed.
Because everyone knows that the President of the United States is a pathological liar.
Liar.
Everybody knows it. And really.
And fuck you. And it was the biggest fuck you. It was just like, fuck you.
You can't stop us. I can
you
sit up here.
You can't stop me. I've done stock trades. I've done corruption.
I've done all.
I am going to give away everyone's health care and make sure surgeons stay rich.
Every single thing.
Make sure that we just milk the entire federal government and all of the health care money and give it to the rich people.
Every single thing that you were livid about the Clinton Foundation doing that they never did, I actually did. And fuck you. Fuck you. Yeah. Because you know what? I've got a mob of 63 million idiots outside who don't give a shit. I could tell them Hillary Clinton eats babies.
It doesn't even matter if they give a shit or not. Even if they've all of a sudden woken up and realized that their insurance is at risk too.
Oh, too late.
Too late.
And you know what?
Because I've got Mitch McConnell in my corner who has no morals and no conscience.
And after we bend those 63 million over a barrel and screw them, you know what we're going to tell them after we've taken everything they have?
Say thank you.
Liberals did it. It's for some reason, it's the liberals to blame. Go kill them. And they'll do it because basically that's how stupid these fuckers are.
So that's the party personal responsibility,
folks. That's right.
And Sherrod Brown said, well, we never say this because we're polite, but did the president lie? Not to you, but to the public? And I still am not. Oh, no. And then Tom Price says, the president and I have had conversations about health care, which means two sentences in a handshaking line.
Sure.
We've had conversations about
health care. Nothing. It means
sure, Brandon, nothing. I'm still unsure to your answer to that as to whether the president lied to you. Of course, you know, that's the that's the Democrat Al Franken lie, which is I know you're lying and I'm not surprised.
Right.
I'm surprised that you said that, Tom Price. I'm not surprised at all. No. I know you're a lying sack of shit. I know the president's a lying sack of shit, and everyone in this room knows that, right? Okay. Doomsday clock is set closer to midnight for the first time in years, and closest to midnight since the 1950s.
Yep. There might be some people out there who don't know what that is.
What the doomsday clock is? Okay, yeah.
I mean, if you're 30 or under, you might never have heard of it.
Never heard of it. Union of Concerned Scientists, who are... for the most part, nuclear scientists, you know, not the Secretary of Energy.
No, but this is Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists.
Former Texas Governor Rick Perry, not him.
Yeah. These are people who you know, midnight is the end of the world.
Yeah, midnight is nuclear holocaust.
Right.
From bombs.
And the way they...
And it was started during the Cold War.
Yes, the way they got attention for the threat of nuclear wars is set up a thing called...
It is. It's a gimmick, but it is a thing to say we are close to... war. We're close to a hot nuclear war that will destroy the Earth.
Yes.
And it was set 30 seconds closer to midnight today, and sounding the alarm from scientists that this is, for the first time in years, the risk of nuclear bombs going off in the world is higher.
Yeah.
I did want to point out, while we're talking about nuclear scientists, a guy named Sam B. Joyce... just sent four tweets out a couple weeks ago. And the first one is a picture of a bald, white-haired guy sitting at a desk with an American flag behind him. And it says, this is Samuel Bodman, Secretary of Energy from 2005 to 2009. He has a doctorate in chemical engineering from MIT and was also a professor at MIT.
Uh-huh.
Then he shows another picture. It's an Asian gentleman sitting in a leather chair with an American flag behind him. This is Stephen Chu. He is Secretary of Energy from 2009 to 2013. Dr. Chu has a Nobel Prize in Physics and is a physics professor at Berkeley. All right. Number three is, this is Ernest Moniz, Secretary of Energy from 2013 to 2017. Dr. Moniz is a professor of physics at MIT, specializing in nuclear physics. And number four is, this is Rick Perry. Rick Perry went to college.
Yeah.
He got a D in a class called Meats.
But really.
He went to Aggie school in Texas.
Nothing wrong with Aggie school, by the way.
Nothing wrong with Aggie school.
But
that can lead to a lot of science classes.
Absolutely.
That can lead to a lot of chemical classes. There's a lot of people that graduate from Ag school that know a lot more about science than your average American.
Ag school and land-grant colleges are some of the great inventions of our society.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And some of the people that come out of there have a lot of knowledge.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But Rick Perry's an idiot.
Rick Perry is not one of them.
Rick Perry's an idiot.
Yeah.
And I don't know how often expertise in meats comes up in nuclear physics, but
he doesn't even have that.
That's the problem. His baseline is, you know, you start tapping on the little dial on his head, you notice that the coolant level is really low in there.
Well, and he called himself a jackass idiot on Dancing with the Stars.
Sure. But really, so how smart do you have to be to run an agency like, let's say, I don't know, FEMA? You could put some horse idiot in there, right? Because who the fuck, it runs itself, and you go to dinners, and you clip ribbons, and whatever. You never have to make a decision based on science or anything like that. And these same idiots, the problem with the last 8 years is that we didn't flush these people out of our political system.
Right.
We didn't.
Well, there was also a system in which you could protect see, this is where we're going full circle back to the beginning of the podcast, which is we could depend on Barack Obama to protect us from certain things from happening with his veto pen. We could depend for a while on a Democratic Senate to protect us from certain things that the crazy house might come up with. There's nothing. We have stripped that off.
Right.
That has been erased. We are now up against cold, hard stone.
There's nobody with their finger in the dike anymore.
Right.
Now there's a guy with a sledgehammer at the dike trying to collapse the dike as fast as possible.
And it's a danger. And that's why people are, that's why there's resistance. And that's why we have to be the resistance.
Yeah.
And there is no, I'm just going to say this, there is no going back from now on to being an involved citizen and making those phone calls. There is a website called Five Calls, by the way. It is the number 5 Calls, CALLS.org. And it daily posts 5 phone calls that you can make with a script that tells you what helps you, what should you stay, what should you stay, say, excuse me, on these calls to help you out. They've already got almost 81,000 people to make a phone call from their website to a member of Congress, to an agency somewhere. Calling is the most effective way to influence your representative. 5 calls gives you the contacts, the phone numbers, and the scripts. So calling is quick and easy. You use your location, and it gives you the phone numbers of your local representatives so that you can say, I am a constituent, because that's the only people they care about.
Uh-huh.
And I recommend checking this out. And, you know, if you can only make 1 call, 5 calls a week, or 1 call, you know, every other day, or however you can fit it into your schedule. There is no easier way to sort of, because this provides everything.
Right.
You know, here's who you call, here's the number, and here's, you know, a script. If you want to say something else, at least you have a guideline for what you're talking about.
Wait a minute, Blue Gal, are you saying I can binge watch Lost and be politically active at the same time?
Well, you know, middle child's going to be there asking you constant questions about, wait a minute, is he dead or not?
Well,
I have to Google this on my phone. And you didn't have that when you originally.
No, I tried to explain. There was a time when every episode of Lost was new and fresh. And I was the guy in my office that people would go to and say, what does that mean? I said, well.
You were the walking wiki for Lost.
I was the
walking wiki for
all things science fiction, and all references obscure and unknowable.
But Lost in particular, the water cooler after Lost was you and a bunch of people.
Dude, no, the book he was reading, it's called, it's a reference to Slaughterhouse-Five. And you fuckers read a book. And that's when they laid me off. So I pretty much. that Lost going off the rails is why they got rid of me. But these days, I'm fortified with the power of righteousness and MacGuffin's Muffins. Building strong plot points 12 ways.
Each week, we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's internet kitty is Coco. She's also known as Lady Langerous. She has actually literally spent time in Mexico, where she learned the power of the siesta. And how to pose during your siesta to look especially elegant. And she's a very elegant kitty. It's a very colorful, spring-like picture of Coco. You'll enjoy looking at it. Go to our Facebook page and website and check that out. You can send your internet kitty to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, where you can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Heard from a lot of people this week. So glad to hear from you. People have sent me, I especially, can I say about the yarn?
Sure.
Somebody sent me some cashmere. Oh, uh-huh. Okay. Uh-huh. It's not pink. It's not going to be a pussy hat. I can guarantee you. But it's going to be something very special. It is beautiful cashmere yarn. Probably the nicest yarn I've ever owned in terms of sort of, you know, high-end fiber. This is the thing. It's gorgeous. Thank you very much for sending that. And be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email and U.S. Postal Service. Go, Postal Unions! Letter on the air, unless you say otherwise. Driftglass, you didn't get gourmet coffee in the mail.
No.
Did you?
I haven't read my email, so I don't know yet. It's possible that I did.
You got some scotch this week.
I did. I got some very nice scotch.
And he got a nice big bottle of scotch, and then someone else sent in, and it was perfect timing, yes. A little tiny serving-size yes. bottle yes. of scotch, shot-size bottle
of whiskey,
scotch.
Of Johnny Walker.
Whiskey. Oh, it was Johnny Walker. Yeah. Excuse me. Okay. You know, one of these airline bottles, and it was perfect timing because Driftglass was in bed,
right?
Sick.
I have a cold.
And he opened this up, and here is his medicine.
I got my medicine. The medicine came in the mail.
You can just hold on to your little bottle of medicine.
Who the hell needs the Affordable Care Act? My medicine comes in the mail. And I haven't touched my delicious scotch because I want to have my palate and my nose completely clear.
I was going to say, the really good stuff, you know, you probably need to wait until you have your sense of smell back.
I'm thinking that. But then the opposite is, it is a curative.
It'll clean out your sinuses.
It's a restorative. It's a curative.
It is.
I don't know. I'm very confused right now.
But you did lay there in bed with your little bottle of Johnny Walker.
I did. I said, oh.
Clinging to you. And, oh, I got my meds.
I suddenly felt like Godzilla. I was like, the meds are like, I'm 20 feet tall. This is. Uh-huh.
Oh, but it was so sweet. It was so sweet that you sent that, and thank you. Uh-huh. And again, in addition to scotch, and whiskey, which Driftglass very much appreciates, don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, buy one for us, and don't forget our Amazon link at our website. Again, these we've had some people email me this week saying, look, I can't afford to send you money right now, but I did need to buy a...
Mercedes.
Someone needed to buy some pipes for their kitchen sink. Yeah. They needed something like that. Yeah. And I went on Amazon using your link, and I bought the materials I needed to do this repair Ooh. Job at home that I have to do. And we got 8% of that back, and it didn't cost them any extra.
Right.
So, you know, that really does help us out. So we appreciate if you have to get something and this is where you have to get it. Using our Amazon link does make a difference in our monthly budgeting.
It really does. So, yeah.
Really does. Thank you. We believe in buying local. We also believe in shopping Amazon with our link if your alternative is a big box store. Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution. You can, too. See our website, professionalleft.blogspot.com, for details. Both our PayPal and postal address information is there at professionalleft.blogspot.com. Please share our show on Facebook or Twitter, and thank you for doing that, unless you're, you know, we know some people have to be liberal on the down low because of work or whatever on Facebook, and we totally understand that. Thank you. Hey, Driftglass, how are the Internet Kitties doing this week?
Well, Blue Gal, I'm sorry to report the entire senior staff of Internet Kitties has just resigned, but their new Twitter handle is @AltInternetKitties.
Let's think about living.
Think about living.
Just think about loving.
Think about loving.
Just think about the hooping and the hopping and the popping and the loving, loving, loving. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with the switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
The Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license, copyright 2016, Driftglass Blue Gal Podcast.